so did the technology. Broadcast live and unedited to an audience around the globe.
Cool, man.
Coming to you now, enclosed in the largest studio ever constructed, and along with the Great Wall of China, one of only two man-made structures visible from space. Now, it's...
I'm Speaking Plainly with Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill Hay, and we're going to go back to the phone lines real quick and bring Mark back up. And Mark, you didn't get a chance to say what was the negative. You said you had one positive, one negative. So the Gay Pride Parade was the positive. How about the negative?
The negative. I am literally walking into what used to be the old Bell South Tower. The reason I call it Bell South Tower because my mother worked there for almost 30 years.
Know the building.
I'm walking there to go see my uncle, who's a lawyer up there. And again, being 6'6 and black with a deep voice, I realize I may scare a few folks. But as the elevator doors open, there's an elderly white lady who's on the elevator. Now, at the time, I had on some slacks, a button-up shirt, and some nice boots. She sees me with a look of utter fear, grabs her purse, and moves to the back of the elevator.
Oh, now, Mark, now let me tell you something. Let me tell you what was going on in the studio while you were speaking. Holly is constantly panoraming her hands.
Pantomiming,
whatever, and making little signs, usually faces at me and flipping me off. But she, as you're telling that story, she's getting ready to read your mind. She picks up her purse, grips it to her chest, and backs up before you even said it. And that's a real shame. It truly is. So did you open a conversation with her maybe?
Well, so I broke the ice by, again, I have, my grandmother teased me. She says I have the common sense I have as much common sense as a billy goat. I'm always cracking jokes. So I wait for the door to close and I quickly turn around. I say, excuse me, ma'am, do you have any bubble gum? And she almost peed herself. She almost peed herself.
Oh, it sounds like you are.
And then, so like clockwork, about 5 seconds later, because I'm riding up to the 20th floor, she turns and she looks at me. She says, "You're tall. Do you play basketball?" And then my response to her is, "No, ma'am, I actually play chess." Now, mind you, again, I'm a basketball coach, but it was just the irony of it all in that exact moment that made me laugh.
Well, you know, that kind of stuff is going to be, you got to consider the age. And you just look at the person and you say, bless your heart. Let me go back to the story I was telling you. You talked about teaching kids and how we move forward. And I was telling you the story of a gentleman that I know that let's just say 35, roughly 35 years ago, he stole a car. That would have put him probably about 12 years old because he's younger than I am. And he has wanted to teach the Arlington Little League, has got their football camps going on now. And he played football in high school and in college. And I guess this whole event went down while he was in high school at Terry Parker High School. And somehow or another, it may have fallen after football season, whatever, but he was still allowed to play through his senior year. And then after that, I guess he did some probation or something. But he was actually convicted of a felony during a period of time when joyriding in a car wasn't commonplace, and they would just slap a felony on a person, you know, just because they could. He's now stuck with that and has been. He's a grown adult man now, owns his own business, but he's wanted to give back to the community. He's wanted to coach these kids. He's a guy who works very closely with his church, and yet every time when he has to do this background check to be a coach, they turn him down because he has a felony conviction. He never went back and tried to get it erased because to him, it was a part of his life that he wasn't going to go back and revisit again, and it wasn't keeping him from doing anything else he wanted to do other than coaching these kids. So my question for you is, what do we do? Are there athletic associations that will consider the circumstances, or is it just black and white? Felony? No coach.
There are a lot of times, and again, I don't want to speak for a larger body like the Florida High School Athletic Association or anything of that nature, but from my past experiences, yes, once you, as my friend says, once you get that F on your transcript, meaning a felony, you cannot retake that class, and you're penalized for it tremendously for the rest of your entire life. But there are different things that are coming about, like I think you spoke on or mentioned about it earlier, how there is a law or
an amendment coming up, a bill coming up for a vote, Amendment 4, that would remove that question from employment applications and require employers and people that deal with the general public to do the necessary background checks that they feel are necessary to vet this individual. It does limit no one, charged with murder, any sexual offense, and some others. I think drug trafficking and conspiracy, something like that. Those don't count. But if you steal a car when you're 16 years old and they give you a felony, it's not going to follow you for the rest of your life, according to this new amendment.
Right. And in essence, once you serve your time and once you've done everything and you've shown that you are now ready to go back into society, you should have, in essence, all the rights that you have now that you're back in society. And if everyone were to able to hear that story that you have, I don't think anyone in their right mind would say no to this bill being passed. On the flip side of that, you have those individuals who read the entire bill and realize that now those individuals, some inmates and things of that nature, those people who are doing different things, now they're going to have the ability to do different things like vote. And I think I was reading somewhere, I can't remember where, there are a number of different states that have taken on this type of mindset, and they're doing well, but for some odd reason, we don't want to make that happen. I think people need to educate themselves and read up on different things like this and not just vote for something because you read a headline saying, oh, now all inmates are going to be able to vote, and we can't have that.
Right. And you know, there is a small portion, and unfortunately they're on my side of the fence, that says if we allow these inmates to vote, the vast majority of the population, the vast majority of the former convicted criminals were Democrat, were black, and they generally vote Democrat, and because of that, then we will have 1.4 million more Florida registered Democrats. I think that's a very poor, narrow-minded way to look at someone's ability to participate in what is kind of a portion of the American dream, to be able to vote for the laws that control you.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you, my man.
All right, so we've got your information. Holly is going to be calling you and setting up a time probably around the 29th if you're available, always on a Saturday night. Come in and sit on the other side, and let's talk. It's been a great conversation so far, Mark, and I appreciate you staying on the line.
Won't be the last time, so I look forward to it.
Thanks, buddy. Bye-bye. What a great call. So don't drop the ball on that like you have on other occasions. Definitely give the guy a call. All right, so Derby, he's on the line. Haven't heard from Derby in a while. Derby, welcome to the show. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Thank you for listening to me now.
How do you feel about that last call, Mark? Very interesting.
He said a few things that I like, some things that I don't like, but I don't want to talk about him. I want to talk about affirmative action and give you some history that I learned by reading in Primus.
Oh, Derby, hang on a second, buddy.
Hang on.
I want to talk to you, but we're going to put you on hold because the music just started and I didn't time that segment well. So just hang on, Derby. I'll be back to you, I promise.
Okay.
Going to put you on hold, and we'll be back to you in just a minute. I don't know what's going on with my cough tonight. I'm allergic to you.
That's what it is.
You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill Hay. Holly and I will be back in just a couple of minutes. If you'd like to reach us by phone, a couple of lines open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. We'll go in just about any direction you want to go in tonight. I'll be speaking at the St. Augustine Republican Club on Monday night. That's going to be a hoot down there. Marty and all his buddies getting together to have a meeting, and they felt that I might be able to give them some valuable information. Boy, were they wrong. Anyway, we'll be back here in just a couple of minutes.
Suckers.
You can reach us on Facebook, facebook.com/I'm Speaking Plainly. We'll be right back.
When our health insurance renewal notice arrived last fall, my wife and I made the decision to drop our plan. With the monthly premiums and deductible, we'd have to pay $30,000 just to use it. So we did our homework and switched to MediShare. The cost savings are incredible, over $500 a month, and we don't have to pay for services we don't need or don't agree with. Then, out of the blue, she had to have emergency surgery. Scary stuff. $150,000 in hospital bills, and MediShare members took care of everything. All we paid was our small portion. I'm a doctor who's been in healthcare for 20 years, and this is one of the most impressive programs I've ever seen. Thank God she's fully recovered. And now we're telling everyone about MediShare.
Call 877-64-BIBLE to find out how much you can save on your healthcare. MediShare. Call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE.
Internal Revenue Service. When you owe a personal or business tax debt and can't pay, just hearing those three words brings feelings of fear and anxiety. I'm Jonathan David Suryash, Managing Tax Attorney at J. David Tax Law. Everyone knows that if you owe the IRS and don't pay, it's only a matter of time before tax liens, wage garnishments, or bank levies happen to you. The first step to resolution is our no-cost consultation. We take the time to go through your specific tax problem step by step. We explain exactly what your options are and how we will resolve your tax issue. J. David Tax Law is a local firm right here in Jacksonville, where only an experienced tax attorney will represent you. Our fee payment plans are affordable for everyone. If you have tax problems, call us now for a no-cost consultation at 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777, or find us on the web at jdavidtaxlaw.com. That's jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Want thousands of people at your yard sale? Have it at Ramona Flea Market. Ramona Flea Market is open every Saturday and Sunday, 8 till 5. And you can set up a yard sale for less money than it costs to print flyers. People come to Ramona Flea Market because of the great deals on clothes, toys, electronics, produce, and more. If you're wanting to sell anything from household items to having a booth for your business, come to Ramona Flea Market. Ramona Boulevard near I-10 and 295. Open Saturday and Sunday, 8 till 5. For information, call 786-3532.
It's time to find a new home through Home Finder Realty. Listing or buying a residential property or planning to build? Call Home Finder Realty. Home Finder Realty can't be beat on property management. Let them handle your problems. Get a quote from them because Robert McDonald promises they will get you the best price on property management, period. Home Finder Realty has a listing in Las Colinas near Intercoastal St. Augustine. 4-bedroom, 3-bath with a lake view and home office. Resort-style amenities, only $296,000. Call Home Finder Realty at 241-5501. Or hfrjacks.com.
Hey, hey, hey.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. Let's go back to Derby and bring Derby up. Go ahead, buddy. Back on the line.
Okay. What I have to say, I learned by reading in Primus. Are you familiar with that publication?
I am.
Yes. Well, it's the latest issue of in Primus. It's an editorial article, and it talked about affirmative action, things that I didn't know. Maybe you know, but I just learned about this. So I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you know the who, what, when, where of affirmative action?
Well, I mean, I don't know when it began. It kind of crept up on us, but I also know that it's set to expire, and they're trying to decide whether or not they're going to reevaluate and maybe bring it back in a different form or just allow it to expire.
Well, I'm going to give you the info that I got from In Primus. It was an executive order number 11246, signed by Lyndon Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it was an executive order, any president could undo it by signing another executive order. Also, I learned in this article that Reagan, he campaigned in 1980 on abolishing affirmative action, but he did not keep his promise. So he could have undone it, but didn't do it. And Bush and even Trump, they could undo it. They won't. To me, affirmative action is nothing more than discrimination against the white male. And the courts have made it so that it's they want to have racial proportionality in hiring and promotion. That's affirmative action. And it used to be just for race in 65, but in 67, I guess Lyndon Johnson again included gender as part of affirmative action. So we have a lot of people that have been hired or promoted just because of affirmative action, not necessarily because they were the best qualified.
You know, and Derby, in some cases, we needed affirmative action, at least in certain occupations. And in other ways, it was a bad decision made in response to a knee-jerk reaction. I mean, I believe that in any hiring circumstance, it should be the person that's the best qualified for the job. And we have it here in law enforcement. I wish Steve Zona could take a stand on this and maybe call in and speak more intelligently. But in the police department, we have a certain number of individuals that get to take the sergeant's exam off of a list to move up based on affirmative action. And I don't agree with that. I don't agree. I think it should be those that have the highest score on the examinations, those that have exemplary records, and moving forward. It shouldn't be that everybody gets a trophy, and it shouldn't be that anybody gets a trophy based on the color of their skin.
And Bill, for how long do we have to have affirmative action? It's been 50 years almost. About 50 years since. So are you going to keep it forever?
Well, I'm sure that there are some people out there that say that affirmative action is still needed because...
Oh, but that is baloney.
Well,
if we had a black president, that proves that we don't need affirmative action. He got elected because he was black, so?
Well, okay. One case, I guess, Barack Obama doesn't change the fact that a guy somewhere working in New York may not be able to get a job, as with the gentleman who called earlier, although he wasn't in New York, but he couldn't get a job as an electrician, but he was qualified to do it because of the working environment he was at.
And then that was reversed to not hire white males.
Yeah. All right.
So two wrongs don't make a right.
I've seen both sides of the coin. I have applied for jobs where a guy got it and I was more qualified, but that's okay.
How is that possible? You're a woman.
Yeah. Nope. Back in the 70s, we may have had affirmative action, but it didn't necessarily mean that everybody practiced it. And I have a relative that I'm not going to mention because I know they're listening, so I don't want to embarrass them. But they work for a fine institution here in town, and the shift that he works on, they had to rearrange some folks because somebody he worked with got in trouble, and he said they brought in two ethnic females to take over the shift, and he says, you know, it's pretty bad when one comes in and says, I don't want to work with her because I know she's a lazy POS, and I'll end up having to do all of her paperwork. And this person transferred from the shift that this person I know is on and went out to the pea farm to get away because they knew. They said, no, I'm not going to do all her work. I'm not carrying her weight. They're only promoting her because of the color of her skin. And this woman had the same color skin. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, well, I'm not going to work with her, and left.
Well, that sounds like
POS. Was that an executive position?
That was an executive position. How did you know? Gosh, I try to be vague. But...
Derby, thank you so much for your call, buddy. I appreciate it. We kind of get off track here, but I understand what you're saying, and I think that if we abolish affirmative action, just abolish it completely, I think we will slowly. Human nature will revert back to where we were before.
Well, I think we have come long ways, like the black fellow said. If I were an employer, I would like to hire whomever I want to hire the best one, regardless of color or anything. But if I want to hire a white guy, so be it. If I want to hire a Hispanic, so be it. I am the employer. I shouldn't be told what proportion of whatever race or ethnic minority I should hire. I am the employer. I hire whomever I want, period, for whatever reason I want, period.
Okay.
If I am the employer.
Absolutely. Thanks, Derby. We'll see you.
Okay.
We'll see you soon. Derby has a wide range of information available, from Cuba to racial diversity. He's a great little guy. Great. I say little guy. I'm sorry. he's a great guy. He just happens to be shorter. There's not very many people that are shorter than me. So get that in there every once in a while I can. What I mean, now, at your business, you received a promotion. They didn't take that back yet. You still got it, right? They haven't figured you out. You're still in that new job?
I'm actually in customer service again.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Which is your job. How I had the ability to come in and do the show, because I'm not working crazy hours.
Right,
all
but
week.
That job, and I pun and rib at you a little bit, but that job was just for you to go out there and get them all organized and everything and then move back into customers. Wasn't it a temporary thing for you anyway?
No, actually, it was a legitimate promotion, and then they decided they were going to bring in, it's, you know, they're just like any other business. It's cheaper to bring in people off the street. Because I was getting overtime and making crazy money. My husband missed me, but he was happy with the paychecks I was bringing in.
Now, just from a guy standpoint, did your husband tell you that he missed you?
Oh, yes.
Good job, Eric. Good job. Did you believe it?
Yes, I did.
Great job, Eric. Great job.
You know it.
Anyway, all right, so we've had a couple of people that have mentioned on the Facebook page that a couple of things. They're happy to see that we're bringing the host in the hot seat back. Mark's probably more than likely going to be the first one to participate in that. I didn't know we had that many people that were paying attention to the whole idea of the host in the hot seat to begin
either.
With, but got a few comments on here. The other thing was just recently got a comment from another gentleman named Mark, who was talking about both Amendment 4 and Amendment 6. Amendment 6 is apparently something that we're seeing on commercials now relative to victims being notified whenever criminals that perpetrated a crime against them, like rape or home invasion or domestic violence, have their sentences modified and they're let out early. The victim in the original crime is not necessarily always notified when that criminal has been turned loose, unless they see them on the street or unless they try to make contact with them, the criminal meaning making contact with the victim. So there's a new victims' rights amendment that's going to be coming up on the ballot, and it's called Marcy's Law, and that'll be voted on to allow law enforcement agencies to release information about when criminals' sentences are reduced and they're let free. And the other thing is Amendment 4, which is the Voting Rights for Felons Act, and that'll be coming up for a vote that the people will get a chance to vote on, and that is whether or not your voting rights as a convicted felon are immediately restored upon completion of any sentences, probation, parole, or restitution for crimes that do not include murder or sexual offense or trafficking in controlled substance. So that's going to be coming up for a vote, and there's arguments on both sides of the aisle. Some say it's going to mean 1.4 more million more Democrats voting in Florida. And others say that it's going to be allowing criminals to take part in the process that we're all used to. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. Excuse me.
As Bill chokes out. I'm guessing that what I put in his coffee earlier is starting to work.
We're going to step away for just a minute. You try to hold that cough in when you're on the mic, but sometimes you just can't go. Do it. 222-TALK, 222-8255. We'll be right back.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM. WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. In its latest advisory, the National Hurricane Center said a significant phase of intensification of Tropical Storm Florence is expected this evening. The storm could grow to a Category 4 hurricane by midweek, but its path is still unclear, though North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia have issued a state of emergency, and the U.S. Navy is preparing to move its ships off the East Coast. Airlines have already delayed or canceled several flights in the Southeast. Hiring picked up in August as U.S. employers added a strong 201,000 jobs, a sign of confidence that consumers and businesses will keep spending. Despite the Trump administration's demands on U.S. trading partners, the unemployment rate remained at 3.9%, near an 18-year low. President Trump says he can ID up to five people who could have written that anonymous New York Times piece, but he declined to name names when asked during an interview Friday with North Dakota TV station. This is SRN News.
Do you know who was voted the Bold City's best plumber? Roland Reisch Plumbing. Here's why. Roland Reisch Plumbing promises great work on time and does it. The good news spreads fast. For all plumbing issues, large or small, you want the Bold City's best. Click Plumber in Jax.com. Your friends and neighbors have used them, and that's why they went to Jacksonville.com to vote Roland Reisch Plumbing Jacksonville's top plumber. 24/7. Roland Reisch Plumbing is standing by, whether it's routine work or a middle-of-the-night emergency. Just call 904-260-7059. If you have a leak, can't wait a week, please call Roland Reisch Plumbing at 904-260-7059. Roland Reisch Plumbing is proud to have been voted Bold City's best plumber. They intend to stay number one. Call 904-260-7059. Call 904-260-7059.
Sean Robinson Realty has the ultimate real estate proposition for you. Own your own home. Sean Robinson Realty has likely sold or listed a property near you. If you close a home with Sean Robinson Realty, he'll give you a brand new big screen HD TV. Call 904-77-SEAN. That's 904-77-SHAWN. Sean Robinson Realty is your one stop for all of your real estate needs. Residential sales, commercial leases, or property management. Locally owned and operated by people who know your community. If you're looking to buy or sell a home or commercial property, don't waste your time. Call Sean Robinson Realty. Imagine getting a free big screen HD TV upon closing. Sean Robinson Realty will do it. Call 904-77-SEAN. That's 904-777-4296. 904-77-SEAN. Sean Robinson Realty.
WBOB tackles the issues.
The anti-war movement in Vietnam, the civil rights movement, in the 60s and early 70s, both of those were much more civil in tone. Even the anti-war movement was more civil in tone, but certainly the civil rights movement among the people who were protesting.
Every day.
Oh, Supreme Court, big ruling in favor of the faith-based pregnancy centers in California. Woo!
WBOB, your 2018 election authority. The latest traffic and weather on WBOB, your 2018 election authority.
Good evening. It's 833 A1A north and southbound. Just some congestion approaching the on-ramp westbound at Butler Boulevard. Eastbound JTB is a nice drive from Phillips Highway up to Marsh Landing Parkway. Cloudy tonight, a chance of rain and down to the mid-70s. Tomorrow, partly sunny with heavy showers possible and a high 91. Rainy for Monday and a high again that day, 91. Right now, it's cloudy, 79 in Jacksonville. You're on Talk Radio WBOB.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Said, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. 27 more minutes. You can kill me in 27 more minutes. You're getting
Yeah, because I'm not going to do it while we're on the air and then have witnesses, all three of them. So.
All three? Oh, that's cold. There's more than three because we've gotten 15 comments just on the Anna Brochet thing.
Zona, my husband, and...
Zona's not listening. If Zona was listening, he would have called in and talked to us about affirmative action. He's not listening. He's just pretending to listen. Anyway, let me go down some of these. Hey, I like what the man said about affirmative action, but it's necessary because if we don't have affirmative action, the little bit of inroads we've been making into getting good jobs and good housing will vanish. Now, I guess affirmative action applies to housing to a certain extent also, or at least grants for HUD income or HUD housing is based a little bit. I guess they split it up. They have one black family, then one white family, then one black family, or maybe three black families and one white family that qualifies for HUD housing. I don't know how that goes.
I don't know either.
So, but apparently affirmative action applies to grants for HUD housing too, which, you know, I don't know how you feel about this, but HUD housing to me is enabling people to be lazy. That's just my personal opinion. And I know that there's some people out there that really need the housing assistance. Maybe they're older and they can't work, or they have a serious debilitating medical injury.
See,
that
you and I were raised
to work hard
with parents that having a house was the ultimate. You know, if you had a husband and wife that were raising their kids right and raising their family right, and they had the income and the stability and the good credit rating, they got a house. That was part of the reward of doing things right and paying your bills. And now it's like, I want a house. Give me a house. I should qualify for this. I should qualify for that. I've got people that applied for grants from the government to have money for a down payment. No,
right.
You're supposed to
save for the down payment. You're right. You know, just like not everybody goes to college, not everybody qualifies for a home. Some people have to get an apartment. But, you know, in today's economy, apartments, I've got a friend of mine that rents a one-bedroom, and she's got a good job. She just doesn't want to take care of the grass, doesn't want to have to worry about anything. She's rented the same apartment for, gosh, probably 10 years. She pays $1,300 a month.
And she could have a house for that.
She could have an entire house for that. But along with that house comes homeowner's insurance, mowing the grass, taking care of the roof.
And, you know, my mom looked at a condo. She said, you know what? I don't want to live in an apartment, but I'm getting tired of keeping up with the yard and all that goes with it. And she says, I want to look at condos. So she looked at condos. And then she found out how much condo fees were.
Yeah.
She says, I'm better off just staying in my house.
There are condos out on the beach where the association fee, just the association fee, equates to $650 a month. And that doesn't apply any payment that you might be making towards the initial purchase of the condo, right?
That's not your insurance. That's
nothing.
And if you want an extra parking space, you got to pay extra for that.
$650 a month for the privilege to live in a building to help support them paying the grass and watering the grass, or cutting the grass and watering the grass and all of the other amenities, painting the building, I guess, every 15 years, whatever it takes. That's an outrage. Imagine that if you're in a condo that there's, you know, 150 units.
Yeah. There's $900,000. When the housing market tanked, and she moved downtown to the Berkman because there was a doctor that had bought several units in it. And then they started building the unit next door, and then it collapsed and killed somebody. And she was able to rent one of those for like $1,100 a month. She was on the 13th floor. We had a great, it was for the 2 years she was there. We loved it because it meant we had a front row to fireworks. And she was high enough up that you could see over the buildings there at the bend of the river.
To see the air show.
But when the stuff started, housing market started picking back up, the doctor said, oh, I can get more money for this. And this was a one bedroom, one bath. And this was at least 7 years ago, and he was getting $1,100 a month. And when it came time to renew her lease, they said, no, we're going up to $1,300 a month because we know we'll get it. And she said, no, I can get into another house for
that.
Do
you know, there is a house over on the beachside. It's called the Underground House. So everybody just calls it the Underground House. It's a rental. A friend of mine is the real estate agent that does the management of that particular house. To rent that house, it's $4,400 per month. That's just to rent it. $4,400 a month. That's $1,100 a week to rent the house. That doesn't include food or water or cable or electricity. That's just to rent the house. So you think about what kind of lifestyle, what kind of profession you have to be in to just pay $1,100 per week just for the structure.
Yeah, forget it.
You have to love the beach an awful lot.
Yeah.
To want to spend $1,100 a week.
Last time we spent money like that, we went on vacation.
Right.
We got a house in Summerland Key that had its own beach, private beach, our own boat dock, our own swimming pool, our own hot tub, and we rented the whole month. And we had the first 2 weeks, and another cop buddy of Eric's had it the next week, and then friends of mine from Publix had it the last week.
You know, we have to, as a nation and as a culture, start learning to live
within our means.
Within our means. And not live at such a rate to where you're, you know, it seems like with Facebook, which might as well be called brag book, because the only thing that gets posted on there is, oh, I went to Paris this weekend, or my husband and I just bought this brand new boat, or, you know, it's all about all this stuff that you're getting. I have a girl that I went to high school with, and she married up. There's just no question about it. She married up. And because she married up, honest to God, she doesn't look much different than she did when we graduated high school. She's had no stress in her life. She got married right out of high school, and she's had no stress. She never had to worry about where the next electric bill was coming from or whether or not she had food in the refrigerator. And because there was that age difference between her and her husband, they had no children. So she's traveled the world. She's shown horses. She's had huge palatial mansions all over, and still owns a couple. No stress, no age, no problems. And because of that, you look at her, and I just, whenever she puts a post up, I have to roll my eyes, because I realize that she's the exception, not the rule. Most people are struggling day to day to just keep the electric bill turned on or the lights turned on. I met a young lady that I also went to high school with. She's 2 years behind my class. She's younger. And she had no qualms about saying that there was a period in her life when she had money and a great job, but lived in her car because she didn't want to live. Her parents were still alive. They had offered her the opportunity to come back home and stay at home, even though she had a great 40-hour-a-week job, but they were nearly impossible to live with. And you and I can relate to that. Imagine moving back in with your parents after you've got a full-time job and you've started your own life and you've got your own friends going. But she chose, she said, you know what? You can live a great life living out of your car. And, you know, in many ways, I look at her and I almost admire her.
Not my car.
Well, she told me she went out of her way not to collect stuff. And I've had other people tell me this too. My mailman, for the longest time, lived on a sailboat, a 36-foot sailboat. And he said, one thing living on a sailboat in Trout River teaches you, you can't collect stuff. You can't clutter your place up. You buy only what you need.
Yep.
Only the food you're going to eat that week. Only the clothes you're going to wear on a regular basis. And then you have plenty of time for life.
I'm very happy to say, Knockwood, I am the only one of my brothers and sisters that I have not had to move back home.
Yeah. I can't say that. I didn't. I left and went to four-year school. So I was down at the Space Center full time for 20 plus years. And when the parents died, then I moved back. But I can't say that I wouldn't have done it. If I'd have known I was going to be single, no wife, no kids, I probably would have moved back home. I don't think that there would have been of course, boy, imagine the stigma there. I tried to get out and lose weight, buy a bike and ride a bike. And all my friends are stopping me on the road while I'm riding saying, Bill, did you get a DUI? You know? It's crazy. People don't think that Bill would just get out and ride bike for exercise. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. We're going to step away for just a couple of minutes. We're going to be back. Phone lines are open. 222-TALK. 222-8255. 855. If you'd like to reach us on Facebook, you can. Facebook.com/I'm Speaking Plainly. Join us on the backside, won't you?
Good news. You are not stuck with your health care plan. Really. You have a choice, and it's a great one. It's called MediShare, and if you've heard about it and wondered what exactly it is, it's a way that people share their healthcare bills, and these are people who have a common faith, who want to be part of something beautiful that not only meets their healthcare needs, but the needs of others too, and it's people who love to save money big time. MediShare members typically save $500 a month per family on their healthcare costs. That is a life changer for people. So this could be for you. Maybe it's what you've been looking for, a way to pay healthcare bills that's not only very smart financially, but it's even profound. MediShare is a nonprofit with 400,000 members nationwide who pray for and share with each other. So yes, you're not stuck. There's another way, and it could save you a lot. Find out more. Call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Make excellent happen. Only at New Balance can you get athletic footwear, apparel, and accessories with highly trained New Balance fit specialists to make sure everything is exactly right. If you're having a hard time finding comfortable shoes or have a hard-to-fit size, your answer is at the New Balance store. New Balance in Orange Park and Beach Boulevard features full-service sit-and-fit locations. Both New Balance stores have a full stock of running, walking, baseball, cross-training, and tennis shoes. You'll find sizes 5 to 18, widths AA, B, D, double E, 4E, 6E, plus orthotic arch supports. New Balance's state-of-the-art computerized foot scanner gets the right fit every time. Make excellent happen at either New Balance store. 10,095 Beach Boulevard, open Monday through Saturday, 10 till 6. Call 620-0483 or at 1871 Wells Road across from the Orange Park Mall. Open Monday through Saturday, 10 till 8. Call 592-7892. New Balance, athletic footwear and apparel for all ages.
To ensure your vehicle's maintenance and repairs are done properly and at a fair price, call Stewart Automotive Repair. This family-owned operation is an official Napa Auto Care Center with ASC-certified mechanics that have the know-how to diagnose and repair almost any foreign or domestic vehicle that comes their way. Stewart Automotive Repair. Great people. Great service. Located behind the Kangaroo Store at Beach and Hodges. Call 992-6868. Online at stewardautomotiverepair.com. That's stewardautomotiverepair.com.
Are you tired of pre-recorded financial shows that try to scare you into buying annuities and life insurance products? I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee. Together we host the Van Wee Financial Hour, live every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Van Wee Financial is a fee-only financial planning and asset management company here on Florida's First Coast.
We bring you current financial information and analysis without the scare tactics.
Most of all, we answer your financial and investing questions live on the air.
Tune into the Van Wee Financial Hour and call us every Saturday morning at 10 right here on AM 600 and FM 101.1 WBOB.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. Just wanted to give you guys a heads up. We have a tentative agreement that Ron DeSantis is going to be on with us live on the 22nd. In addition to that, the president of the corporation that owns GoFundMe is going to do a call-in that night. I'm going to talk to him a little bit about what they plan to do in the future to prevent the issue that just happened with the homeless gentleman out west. And if you don't know much about that, this was a gentleman who was homeless on the side of the road, had $20 to his name, gave up the $20 so that a young lady could have gas for her car. The young lady and her husband then did a GoFundMe page and did all sorts of tear-jerking photos and started talking about how they needed to help this man and how he helped her. And they raised over $400,000 and then appropriately in his name for his use for him. And he's now having to sue them because apparently all the money's gone and they spent about $160,000 of it on themselves. So, once again, greed took over.
Well, according to what the last thing I read on this, the GoFundMe people said he was getting it all.
Yeah. The GoFundMe people are going to make it up.
Yeah.
They're going to make it up. And I think that's great. Of all these little social media things that pop up, it sounds like they have done stepped up and done the right thing.
And
the police raided this husband
and wife, I saw that on the news that
hauled
they
away
got
their
all
BMW
this,
7 yeah. Series.
I actually have, and this is almost embarrassing to say, I've got a niece that did a GoFundMe page because she wanted to be a stay-at-home mom.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's not how that works.
There are pilots, student pilots, young kids that do GoFundMe pages wanting to pay for their flight lessons. There was someone from this radio station that did a GoFundMe page to pay his electric bill from this station. Yes. Didn't raise any money, but nonetheless, it was still done.
Yeah, neither did my niece. So she didn't raise a dime.
Well, that should tell her something right off the bat.
I think the last time I donated to a GoFundMe page was a fellow that we went to church with was struggling with medical bills because he had a brain tumor. He has since died, but we did donate to help put groceries in their house.
Right. I felt bad that this weekend there was a GoFundMe page request for Dawn Wells, lady we had on the show. I talked with her in an interview here.
What did she have a GoFundMe page for?
She fell and broke her knee when she was already recovering from a previous medical procedure.
And she's not a spring chicken.
No, she's 71 years old, I think. She lost her money. Her house was taken already, foreclosed on for medical bills and some other stuff. Excuse me.
Did she start this GoFundMe page or did somebody else?
No, someone else started it for her without her knowledge. And she needed to make $200,000 to pay for medical bills and get her a position. Excuse me just a minute, folks.
Because I like Dawn Wells. I'm donated money for Dawn Wells.
And I would have too, but I didn't get to the computer. I don't know what's caused this hacking cough. Actually, I do know what's caused it, and I hate to be blatantly honest with you, but I'll tell you after I finish the Dawn Wells thing. She needed to raise $200,000, and this guy started a page without her knowledge and raised over $160,000 in just the first couple of days. Because who doesn't like Marianne? So
Maybe Ginger or Mrs. Howell.
She thanked everyone, and... she's going to move into an assisted living facility to get herself put back together. Some bad business deals. You know, it happens a lot with celebrities and stars. Buzz is another example. Buzz lost a lot of money to people that were supposedly helping him. And fortunately enough, he still had a lot left over to where he was able to file a lawsuit and get surrounded by some new people and hopefully... stop the hemorrhaging of money that people were taking from him. So we'll see him back.
Greed is a powerful drug.
It is. Yeah, it truly is. So back to the in the last couple of minutes here before we go on and talk about more of the schedule. You hear me coughing, hacking cough. I'm not sick. I got an infection in my throat, and I know you guys might think I'm making this up, but I'm not. I have a Keurig machine, and I drink coffee every day, regularly, sometimes as much as 20, 24 cups of coffee, even before 10 o'clock in the morning, because I get up at 4 a.m. And apparently you should do a better job of cleaning your coffee pot, especially if it's a Keurig machine. Black & Decker is one thing. You make a pot of coffee, and it goes in the little glass carafe, and you drink it. And when it's done, you go take the carafe, and you wash it all out, and you put it back in, and you're ready for the next day. With the Keurig machine, there's a lot of places for coffee and stuff to get stored in little cracks and crevices, and it generates mold. And then you're constantly making coffee every morning and drinking mold, basically.
We should be building up a resistance.
No, it just hit me. And I hate to say this to my listening audience, but I was really disappointed in myself when I took my Keurig machine apart to clean it. I mean, there was stuff in there that NASA would have loved to look at. And it was really, really bad.
Growing your own penicillin, huh?
Yeah. And drinking across it every day. Because I was just, every day I'd get up, just make more coffee. I don't know how long that stuff had been growing in there. There was an entire garden patch of stuff growing in the machine. And I'm not talking about in the clear part where the water is. I'm talking about in the part where the little cup goes to make the coffee. So I was doing a very poor effort of cleaning the machine. In fact, to be honest with you, I think
So you cleaned it and now you're sick.
No, I got sick and I was trying to find the reason why my throat was scratchy when I'm not around people and didn't know why. And I can tell you that under my breath, when I held a flashlight down and I looked inside the Keurig machine, in the back of my mind, the three words, "Oh my God," kept playing over
and
over again.
About like that time you opened that container of sour cream that had been in the fridge for 2 years.
And oh, yeah.
It was almost like an orchid
yeah.
when you open the top. Oh, wow. Maybe I should submit this to the
Jonas
Salk Museum.
Somewhere out there, there is a young lady that feels sorry for me and says, this guy needs a woman in his life so she can clean the coffee machine and clean out the refrigerator from time to time.
Thank God for affirmative action, and there's not some woman out there thinking she needs to take care of you.
So we're really big on the political forefront now. We're steamrolling towards November, and then immediately after November, we're going right into getting ready for March with the local elections. So flowing through here, you can expect in the next few weeks Bill Bishop and some of the others that are running for office.
Okay, so now I have to ask, if you're inviting DeSantis to come in, are you also going to throw the invitation out there to Gillum?
Have to. And so, yeah, I'll be making that
even
contact.
Even if he wants to come in here with Bernie Sanders and hold hands and sing Kumbaya and offer $15 an hour for minimum wage.
Probably be a call in. But you know what? We need to hear his side of the story so that we can prove how ludicrous it is. A bullet tax, $15 per hour, $10,000 per teacher across the board in the state. A ban on assault weapons. Yeah. $782 million expansion in Medicaid.
Well, the last time I checked, no assault weapon ever picked itself up and walked to a schoolroom.
Now, and, you know, the worst thing that Andrew Gillum did this week is pick Chris King as his running mate. And I say the worst thing, not because Chris King is a bad guy, because they're both on the same level of lunacy, but because he was a competitor. And I can't remember in state politics when the last time someone chose a competitor to occupy the position of lieutenant governor. And when I heard the announcement and Chris King began to speak, it made me realize that they are two incredibly overpowering forces when they get together. And they neutralize each other, and nobody seems to get their message. Anyway, that's coming up in the next couple of weeks, so tune in on the 22nd. Hopefully, we'll have Ron DeSantis in here. We know we're going to have Seal Schellenberg in here talking about some of her charitable work.
Matt let her?
He'll have no choice. She runs that family, I'm sure. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. We're going to step away for this week. We'll see you in 2 weeks, right back here, same bat time, same bat channel. Holly, thank you once again for coming in and sitting in this seat. You're always missed when you're gone, by my listeners and by me. If you're out there partying, have a good time tonight, guys, but please drive safely and drink responsibly. We'll see you back here in a couple of weeks.